Welcome to Live Well Long, where we deliver life-enhancing, empowering messages for body, mind, and spirit to those seeking to get the most out of life, who have a zest for learning and know that learning must be an ongoing activity to achieve a vibrant, thriving life. This is your host, Alexandra Van Horn. Stay tuned for another episode of Live Well Long. Hey everyone, welcome. This is Alexandra Van Horn with Live Well Long. And today we have a wonderful guest, Dr. Stefan Zavalin, and he is the professional unicorn. After losing his vision in graduate school, he not only finished his degree, but went on to working in the clinic, starting a business, writing a book, and giving a TEDx talk. He went further into creating a digital interactive show for desk workers that was revolutionary for the virtual meeting era. In all of these ventures, he presented creative approaches and unique aspects of communication to his audience, from role-playing in his TEDx talk to Choose Your Own Adventure social media series. Dr. Zavalin has excelled at unique and creative communication that helped him stand out in business. He now finds creative communication strategies for businesses and entrepreneurs to help deliver their message to their audience in a unique and authentic way that eliminates any chance for competition. So let's welcome Dr. Stefan. Wonderful, wonderful to have you here. How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm excited to talk about all sorts of things. I know we're going to be talking a lot about reducing sitting and how wonderful it is to move to help us live well longer. So I'm just excited to dive back into that topic because I don't get to talk about it nearly as much as I used to.
Awesome. Well, I'm grateful to have you talk about it because I know firsthand how important it is. So that's awesome. So let's talk about the role that movement plays in our life and health. And what's the difference between moving more and sitting less?
I love it. I love that we're getting right into it because that's the big distinction that I, for the longest time, I had to figure it out over the course of several years of how to communicate this to people. Mm-hmm. Because anytime that you would say, sitting is bad for us, we should reduce how much we're sitting. The response I got from my patients, the response that I got whenever I gave any kind of lecture was, yeah, I should go for a walk. Oh yeah, you know, I should hit the gym. I should exercise more. That was the overall response. And I was saying, but that's not what I said. I said, we're sitting too much. I didn't say we're not exercising enough. And right. One could argue maybe we're not exercising enough. But the issue that I found was that we are truly sitting too much. And I love giving people a little bit of what are the numbers around it of what is too much, what is not. So realistically, I like to do a timeline. Mm-hmm. 4 hours of sitting, this is throughout a day, increases your blood pressure a little bit. 6 hours of sitting increases risk of anxiety and depression. 8 hours doubles your risk of cardiovascular disease, which wow. Even with COVID, cardiovascular disease in the US, still the number one killer overall, okay? Wow. That sounds scary. And the reason I say it with such a light kind of hearted way is if you do the proper amount of exercise, that's all reversible. That's fine. So if you're sitting 8 hours a day, you're not really worried about it. The thing that really got me out of the clinic and talking more about this is a study that I found where they had over 200,000 people that they looked at. And it was those sitting 11 or more hours a day increase their risk of premature death by 40%.
Wow.
And that's not the scary part. The scary part is that it wasn't reversed with exercise. That even those individuals that were exercising but sat more than 11 hours a day were still showing these increased risks.
Right.
And so that really brought me to this point of it's not about exercising more. It really is about the sitting less part, because depending on what kind of job you do, the average can go anywhere from 12 hours to 15 hours a day of sitting.
Yeah.
And if you are that 15-hour mark, doing 4 hours of exercise is ridiculous every single day to try to get below the 11-hour mark. That's not going to happen.
Right.
So we have to change how we're working. We have to change how we're doing. And so to your question of what is that difference between moving more and sitting less is finding ways that we can do household tasks, work tasks, with not sitting down to do them, as opposed to finding what are those ways that we can exercise more, walk more, all that. Those are good, but they're just not scalable the way that reducing sitting really is.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, I myself, I've started, when I eat at home, I stand up and eat at the counter. It's like, it's just Simpler. I eat less and I avoid the sitting. Mm-hmm. Wow. So what made you shift from movement to creativity for your work?
So as much as I love that passion around teaching people the importance of the reduction of sitting, because that benefits your brain health, your overall health, physical health.
Right.
I realized that maybe it's the current economy, whatever it might be, employers are not looking for that. Everybody says, yes, it's great. It's wonderful. Yes, it's very much needed, but nobody's really willing to necessarily pay for that kind of a thing. So mm-hmm. I had the TEDx talk, I created the book. So I've created resources that can still be used and the message is very much out there. Right. But I realized that I needed to shift from it a little bit. Mm-hmm. And this is a kind of almost like a personal part. Through creating all of these things, I realized there was a piece that was always creative, that I always liked to do it in a different way. So mm-hmm. if anybody goes and watches the TEDx talk, you'll see that I do a little role playing where I play a patient and I play myself on stage. Mm-hmm. I didn't see anybody else do that. Maybe that's good. Maybe that's bad. I don't know. The book, I had it split up in a very different way where there's each chapter is multiple sections and you could read the book in a variety of different ways. If you could just read the story and you would get some good information, or you could read the really technical things. And then
what's the name of the book for our listeners?
Yeah, the name of the book is Sit Less. So okay, if you just great. Go Sit Less, Stefan Zavala, you will find it right away.
Great.
Yeah, on Amazon. And then I made a show that I was doing, a live virtual show called Scared Sitless. Partially because it was hilarious.
I love that.
Yes. And the show was very much interactive, to where there was music involved. There were jokes. It was a choose your own adventure part of it, where every show was actually different because I had to do it live, even though it was virtual. Uh-huh. And throughout all of this, I realized I love presenting things in this unique, specific way, right, and really showcasing a piece of information in a different form so that people go, oh, I never thought of it that way.
Yeah.
And so all of that over the years combined to me saying, maybe I could do this as a profession. And so that's why I kind of shifted into this idea of, let me use creativity as part of my profession. So the movement is still there. Right. But now it's more about the creative communication of things.
Yeah, like a different way of getting the message out. Mm-hmm. Love it. Wow. And so does it feel like you're doing a disservice from something that you may have been passionate about, and that is helping people, to something that is not as evidence driven?
And that's a question that I ask myself frequently, because you kind of go, well, you were doing this healthy thing and now you're doing something that people unfortunately mislabel as branding, marketing. It's not really what I do. I really find that unique piece from a person, especially entrepreneurs, and help them communicate it out into their business. And I realized that I alone, it would be very difficult for me to tackle this idea of physical health. That right now, with the resources I have, there's maybe in the future, but there's no way that I could do it.
Right.
However, this idea that businesses can be helped by business owners to really be themselves. And we have a lot of people talking about authenticity now, especially in business and other things, and authenticity in our lives. And I'm going to get on a tiny soapbox.
That's right. Go for it.
I used to be in the authenticity box of saying you need to be authentic.
Right.
And I've since realized that's not true. And I have a very good reason for it. We need to be ourselves, but especially in our business, people don't actually want us to be authentic and in our lives.
Right.
What I mean by that is, people, if you have, Beyonce and she has a sore throat, people are not going to be happy that she goes, guys, I'm not going to sing today. I know you paid concert tickets, but I'm being authentic. I'm not going to sing. You're not going to be happy that she's being authentic. Like, maybe you're
be
happy if she says, hey, I have a sore throat today, but I'm going to give you the best show you've ever seen. All of a sudden you're going, I feel her authenticity because she had a hard day, a difficult day, and she still delivered.
Right.
But that's not really authenticity. That's humanity. That's us showing you that, hey, we're still human. We have hard days. We have difficult times, and we're going to persevere and we're going to keep going regardless, which is not quite authenticity to the same degree.
Right.
And that's kind of the piece where I go, where's that difference? Because we just want to slack off and say, well, I'm being authentic because I just don't feel like ever doing it. There is a line, but also you don't want to burn out. I'm also not saying that you should do the hustle culture side of things and just always push yourself into it.
Right.
There's a line and we need to find that line. And that's been an interesting kind of soapbox to get on and then get off. Right. But yeah, in that sense, I think I'm doing a service to people of helping them be themselves. Mm-hmm. And the movement was in a way, the smaller part of it. It's only just grown into a bigger mission and vision.
Right. Yeah. Wow. And I know, like in the intro, I described that you lost your vision. I don't want to skip over that. So I'm sure our listeners are saying, wait a minute, how did he, you know, he certainly looks, you know, those that are watching it on YouTube, he certainly looks fine. He looks like he's looking into the camera. Like, what's this about? Mm-hmm. So do you want to share that, like how that evolved and what was the challenges like for everything in your life, your work, your health, relationships, all that stuff?
Yeah, there are a lot of interesting lessons to come from it. And I was fortunate because looking back, the amount of support that I had, I didn't realize how fortunate I truly was. So this was in grad school. I got a parasite in my eye. It was in Philadelphia, not some exotic place, because everybody always asks, them, yeah. You go somewhere?
No. Were you in a third world country?
Right. It's like, nope, Philadelphia. It was a combination of a lot of things going wrong. So I don't want anybody, especially if you're listening in Philadelphia, don't get scared. It's okay. It's not that. It's just a lot of things went wrong. I got misdiagnosed for a long period of time. And so I had to get out of grad school. And at that point, I really lived that idea of a healthy person has 99 problems. A sick person has one. They're just trying to get better. And it was just, how do I get past this?
Right.
So there wasn't really a thought of, are you going to finish your doctorate? It was like, am I going to live? What is life going to be like afterwards?
Yeah.
So at one point I even asked my dad, who he's a theoretical physicist, very like, you need to do education, you need to get a doctorate. And I said, what if I can't finish? What happens then?
Yeah.
And this was probably the most saving phrase of that time, as he said, you just become a musician. Because I love doing music. I actually started undergrad in music. And so I thought, wow, oh, there are options. All of a sudden there was this idea of this person that has guided me along. Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe that there are. And that got me through that kind of dark period of overcoming it. And then I was able to gain some vision back, finish the degree. By the time I was finishing, the vision was now starting to go down even further. And so by the time I got into the clinic, I was really struggling with it. And it was, again, this kind of little interesting message of where I realized I could do more.
Yeah.
Where most people would say, well, you're blind, do the bare minimum you can, maybe just do like part-time in the clinic or something like that. I said, well, what if I start my own business?
Right.
Why not? I can gear things to where I make everything work for me. And right. it was better than I thought. And a perfect example is actually the TEDx talk is the one that I always love to use. I would have thought, oh, a blind person giving a TEDx. I mean, one would think, yes, it's easy. But what people don't know is you have to write a script to do TEDx talks.
Right.
It's a memorized script that you have to deliver. We wrote 27 versions of the script. And then you have to memorize it. You submit the script to TED and then you have to deliver it. And so immediately, I didn't realize I was going to have an advantage over other people. I had to memorize my script because I couldn't read it off a piece of paper.
Right.
So a month and a half before the actual event, I had it completely down and I was rehearsing it.
Right.
By the time we got to the rehearsals at the venue, plenty of the speakers had their little papers in hand and they were forgetting lines and because they were relying on it. I was ready. I didn't have to do it a single time.
Yeah.
And so in that way, I was head and shoulders above all the other speakers because I was blind, not in spite of being blind.
Right.
In that interesting way. And so that's the way it's all throughout developing the businesses and all that, that I've realized find the way to make it work for you, as opposed to thinking, oh no, I just can't because I'm blind, because I have some other limitation.
Right. Which is wonderful. And that really leads into, I mean, this whole podcast episode leads into, of course, live well long and what we can do. And that idea of adaptability, because so many of us, as we go through life, you know, things fall away, whether it's people, relationships, jobs, you know, our bodies, you know, they don't stay the way they were when we were in our 20s, you know. So adaptability is a huge piece of that. So that's really demonstrating excellent adaptability. Wow. Very cool. So now your vision has it stabilized? What is the scenario that you're living with?
It is always a toss-up, honestly. The vision has stabilized, but it's growing up, I always had one good eye, one bad eye. That was just nerve damage. It never developed. And so the interesting thing, the universe, karma, whatever you want to call it, because of the parasite, it has now completely switched. because my quote unquote good eye became my even worse eye.
Aww.
And so if it gets worse, that's the one the parasite was in. If it gets worse, at this point, it's so bad that it doesn't really affect me. It's always bless them. But when I go to the doctor and I talk to the techs that have never seen me, they're like, so how's your vision? Has it gotten any better, any worse? And so I was like, honestly, I'm not going to be able to tell. It's so bad that it's, I can't.
You've got a
but
great
I've gone through so it. Many of it. Yeah. So at this point, the right eye, it is stable in the sense of the previously bad eye, now the good eye. That hasn't changed my entire life. So yeah. It's stable in that way. But I can't drive. I don't really read books, even though I love to. But audiobooks now are a fantastic thing. And I have the perfect excuse.
Yeah, right. Excellent. Wow. Yeah. Nowadays, and I think the way things have gone with technology is I think more people would rather listen than carry a book around. You know, mm-hmm. I can't say that for myself. I like both, you know, but it's definitely a good time to be, have access to audiobooks. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Great. Wow. And you call yourself the professional unicorn. Where did that come from? And I'm guessing it has to do with how you've transformed your life.
But... Right. So it's interesting. The majority of my life, I had in various ways been called a unicorn. I didn't call myself a unicorn. People called me a unicorn. So right now living in Los Angeles, previously was in Nashville. And The thing about Nashville is everybody's moving to Nashville. And so whenever you came across people that grew up, and I grew up in Nashville, I went to school in Nashville. Whenever you came across those people, they were always called unicorns because it was so rare because so many new people moved to Nashville. So for the longest time, people would call me a unicorn even when I was living in Nashville. And I always liked identifying with this idea of a unicorn of just standing out, doing something different. I always loved to just be a performer whenever I could in that sense. It wasn't necessarily that I needed the spotlight on me. I just wanted people to have fun and to be interesting.
You enjoy it. Yeah.
I enjoy it. And so this combines with this very interesting idea. When you get a degree, you have this feeling of, I have to do what I got the degree in.
Right.
I've spent so many years in school, then in undergrad, then grad school. My whole life has been dedicated to this degree. Of course, my future is going to be this degree.
Right.
And so my first business was very much along the physical therapy degree. And then finally, when I thought, could I step away from this? Am I allowed to do creativity and communication? I don't have a degree in this. Is this okay for me to do? I realized that, okay, I really have to just let my natural talent shine in this idea of creativity and communication. Right. And so I need to be my own kind of unicorn. But my worry was that that's not professional. That's people are going to go like, this kid, this unicorn guy, he's saying he has a business. And I thought, well, what if I tell people I'm professional? What if the whole thing is that I'm professional, but I'm also a unicorn? And that's how it came out as this thing of finding my identity and kind of being myself in that, and then realizing other people very much struggle with a similar thing. Sure. Of where we are afraid of doing the thing we want to do, or right. You know, expressing how we truly feel because it's unprofessional, because it may hurt other people's feelings, because it's just not what people right. want. Right. Us to be. And so that's how it all came out to be is kind of letting go of the chains of saying I have to do what my degree says I do.
And that's what so many of us need to hear and make it our own, because so many of us go through life, you know, either like living out someone else's dream or not even realizing we're doing it until we're, you know, at a certain stage in life. And then, but I never did this thing. And that's so important they've proven with the way disease happens is, you know, getting in touch with our joy. What brings us joy? And that's what you got in touch with. Like, well, what will really bring me joy in this situation? And, you know, what can I do with it? And awesome. And that's what all of our listeners need to hear, because mm-hmm. there's that point in life where you say, well, is this, you know, is that all there is? Is this, you know, this thing that I've created because I got the degree in whatever, or because Dad said do this, or Mom said do this, or whatever. And now you think, you know, you can create what brings you joy. And that's so important. It gives us life. That's what gives us life.
It's true. We were just talking before we started recording that you recently had a family trip. I just had my first baby, our first baby, however you want to use that. But and he's going to be 6 months soon. And there's this interesting thing that I've noted every morning when he wakes up. It's just this joy. It's just this happiness of where I'm so jealous of him. I'm just going, how are you this happy? What do you have to be? Not that I'm grumpy in that sense, but I think I'm sad that I'm going, how did I lose that? How did I lose this joy of just, there's this new day. I'm waking up. He's waking up in the same little crib, in the same little house, in the same little, city. Well, little city, Los Angeles, but still, you know, there's this, there's peace of just like, there's, but there's still the joy of finding it in it. And I think, like you said, we lose it and we go, is this all there is? Then the question is this that small? Is this not enough? And then we lose that joy of finding those pieces. We tend to then focus on the negative, on how bad this kind of stuff is. Right. And I'm really against toxic positivity where you just go, everything is wonderful. No, there are bad things in life. Let's be honest. Bad things happen. But we tend to then go towards the negative. And that's part of our just brain chemistry, because that keeps us safe. When you look at the bad things and you prepare, that keeps us safe. But we don't have to use that nearly as much as we do in our society. And so the point that I'm really trying to go to here is that even if you're stuck in a job that you absolutely despise, a lot of it might just also be your mindset around it and realizing what else in your life is good, joyful, and wonderful. And how can you bring that into your job? And you will find that your job can become joyful. You don't have to switch jobs. You don't have to start your own thing. You could already be there. You're just not seeing it.
Right. Excellent. I mean, that's one of the things I teach is gratitude, like focusing on gratitude. In the case of any circumstance you're in, you know, okay, the sun is shining, I have food, I have a roof, whatever it is. It could be something simple, could something be, you know, I just had a wonderful vacation, you know, that was great. But deliberately choosing to look for things that you're grateful for actually shifts your whole mindset. And it's actually been shown to change the chemistry of our brain. So very cool stuff. And it's a wonderful habit to cultivate. That's one of the first things I teach is cultivate gratitude, cultivate a habit of gratitude. And then from there, you can, you know, it creates a positive baseline for us, you know, like, and then from there, we can create more in our life. That's awesome.
How would you tell people to start? What do you think, what is your advice on starting gratitude? Because sometimes it's overwhelming if we go, I'm going to do an hour of meditation or whatever it might be. What's a good way?
No, it's actually, I mean, what I do is I keep paper by the side of my bed, and the first thing in the morning or at night, you can do it morning, night, you know, you just work it into your routine, just like you brush your teeth or take a shower, you know, it's like, or work out, whatever the thing is that, you know, keeps your body, mind in good shape. Add gratitude to it, you know, write out five things I'm grateful for and try to make it different every day. I don't want to say, okay, I got a roof over my head, I have water, I have food, I'm healthy, which is all good stuff, but try to come up with something different every day. You know, oh, I just heard birds flying overhead. Oh, I love the sound of birds. I'm grateful for the sound of birds. Things like that, but just work it into your life every day. And even throughout the day, even like if you get through the day and stuck in traffic, whatever the annoyance is of the day, somebody says something that kind of ruffles your feathers, whatever, you say, okay, you can deal with that, but also like, okay, what am I grateful for right now? You know, you just notice one of the things. In fact, I was just writing an article for my newsletter on LinkedIn, is that just notice it's impossible to really hold a thought of gratitude and also hold a negative thought at the same time. Like in that instant, when you're holding a thought of gratitude, your vibration goes up, your body chemistry, everything is elevated. So the more you do it, you notice just in a funk in the middle of the day, just, okay, what am I grateful for right now? Oh, grateful that I'm going to see so-and-so for lunch or, you know, whatever it is, that just elevates, you know, focusing on the positive. Like you said, not everything is positive, but it helps you when you focus on gratitude. It helps to energize you to deal with the icky parts of life, you know, the sticky stuff.
Yeah, I think to your point, not everything is positive, but if you went through your entire day and you think there was nothing positive in your day, you're wrong. You're just not seeing it.
Exactly.
You're breathing.
You're breathing. You got another day of life.
Yes. And it does. It sounds silly. And I really like that it can be just work it into your routine, because the way that my wife and I do it, and I'll be honest, we don't do it every single time, when we've had a really bad day, we snuggle in bed for 5 minutes and each person says the three things they're grateful for that day. Good things? And it's always interesting because when the other person says stuff, if you have somebody else that you go, oh yeah, that did it. Oh yeah. I remember that too. How did I forget that good thing happened? And it does uplift it just a little bit, but even though the day might have been horrendous.
Right, right. But it does. And you notice once you do that, you're like elevated. And it's like, wow, it all. So like where we focus our mind can totally change our body chemistry, our feelings, our vibration. It's like, where am I focusing right now? You know? And yeah, super important. And again, things come up with, you know, kids or grandkids, and I can easily dwell on something or shift it. I'm like, okay, well, that was that. And what am I grateful for right now? You know? And yeah, absolutely. Wonderful. Wow. So let's see. So you have a free gift for people. And you want to describe what it is?
Absolutely. So we talked at the very beginning, we talked about the difference between moving more and sitting less. And maybe we glanced over it rather quickly. And people might have gone, okay, I get it. Sitting less is changing how I'm doing tasks. Moving more is exercising more. But even when I ask people to put it into an example and use it, a lot of people go, yeah, I don't have it. So what I've put together is a nice little chart of various tasks you can do at work and around the house, but it's mostly focused on work because that is the majority of where we sit. Mm-hmm. Especially if you're working from home, because then it tends to be that you're working more hours than you think you are.
Right.
But it is basically a chart that helps you go, okay, this is what a behavior would be of sitting less, and this is what that same behavior would be of moving more, and making right. sure that you're not overwhelming yourself and pushing yourself too much into the moving more, because this is just a general philosophy. And I love that it got developed is this idea of doing less of the bad instead of doing more of the good. Mm-hmm. Whenever we want to fix a problem, we tend to think that we need to do more of the good.
Yeah.
But that's not scalable because there's only so much more that you could do until you're going, I don't have time in my day. I'm burnt out. I can't keep doing more, as opposed to doing less of the bad. And this could be true for moving and sitting. It could be true for nutrition. You know, there's only so many more green salads you can eat until you have to say, I should probably eat less pizza. You know, right. there's a point that you have to say, let's do less of this bad stuff we keep on doing.
Right.
And we tend to just say, I'm just going to do more of the good stuff and continue doing the bad stuff. I like the bad stuff, Netflix all the time.
Right.
Yeah. So, but it's a gradual shift. And so this short little PDF just helps you kind of navigate that and go, okay, this is what I can do. I have easy solutions for myself.
Right. They can print it out, hanging on the refrigerator kind of thing.
Easily. Yep. And then if you really want way more of those kind of things, you can get the book because at the end of each chapter, it has your next three steps of how to use that chapter's information to implement for your own life if you really want to delve deep.
I am going to get that book. And it's just called Sit Less. Two words, Sit Less, and it's on Amazon.
Yep, Sit Less, Stefan Zavalin. You'll find it right there.
Awesome, awesome, wow. And any other final words you want to give to people to help them just get a grip on or whatever it is that you would say to them, if you had one phrase to give them for life, what would it be?
Oh, for life. Yes. So
like, you know, your motto or something.
There is something, you are unique is the phrase that is utterly overused. And people think, yeah, sure I am. But you are. There is something very specific and interesting in each one of you. However, you can't see it. And usually if you ask other people, they can.
Yeah.
Call it society, whatever it is. It's been clouded. Figure out what it is and use it. I'm not saying make a business around it. I'm just saying just use it in your life because that's going to be what's actually fulfilling to you in whatever it is that you're doing.
Right.
That's it. That will be the final thing.
I love it. Awesome. Wonderful. Thank you so much, Dr. Stefan. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. I really appreciate all of your message because I know personally that it made a difference for me when I realized I am sitting too much. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you for having me. This was an absolute blast.
Yeah, this is awesome. Thank you so much. And we'll talk again soon. Thank you for listening. This is Alexander Van Horn with Live Well Long. Be sure to hit subscribe if you enjoyed this. You can always reach out to me at alex@avhcoaching.com. And remember to take good care of yourself so that you can live well long. Until next time, have an awesome day. Hey, psst, it's Alexander. One more thing. Would you please share this on Facebook, Twitter, send an email to your friends? Just hit the share link and pick a way to share it. I would love it. Thank you so much. Bye.